Session number 8229, Frederick Collins, part one.
Mr. Collins, could I ask you something about your life when war broke out in 1914? What were you then doing?
Well, I was working in a factory, and as you say, I was about 16 years of age. I'm not. You say I was 17 when I joined the army from the factory. We went down to the high street, three of us, and went in the recruiting office. And the old gentleman there, you know, he's one of the old Boer War men with the coloured ribbon round his hat and, you know, his medals. And he says, "You're the sort we want." And he, of course, we're pretty well built and that. He said, now he says, "You want to join the Northamptons?" Now, he didn't ask us our age. So I said, "You join the Northamptons." He said, "You'll go down to Weymouth." He said, "You'll do your training." He said, "You're 19, aren't you?" Of course, we said, "Yes." And we went down to Weymouth. He said, "You'll go down to Weymouth." He said, "You'll do your training." He said, "War be over. What do you want better?" So he took his tip, joined the Northants. We went up to Northampton, and in a few days, we went down to Weymouth. That's where the 3rd Battalion, Northamptons, were. We went down to Weymouth. And the camp was hardly finished, so we went into the digs, you know, in the lodgings with the... I was got a pal with me, but they parted us down there. There was one room for the, you know, and so I was put with two more fellas, and they was none too sociable. They kept themselves to themselves too much, you know. And I was like on my own, and of course everything was a bit rough. When you got down there, you see, you had to be inoculated. Well, you know, them doctors are a bit rough at that time. They were learning, some of them. It must have been one in my mind, because he put me in bed for half a day. You know, they stick the needle in and put an iodine on your arm and that. And the landlady, she was very nice. She was only young. She'd be about 32 or something like that. She lost her husband in some fishing cadet disaster, something. And
what sort of training did you have there?
Oh, we had a very strict training there. Yes, I used to have some golf links to Weymouth, you know, and I used to have us out at 6 o'clock in the morning down on the golf links. And it used to be enough to starve you, because it was the 15th of March when I joined the army. And it was still March, you see, when we were down there. And then we used to do rifle drill and go on route marches around Portland and all around, with full marching order, you know, to keep you fit and that. And then we moved out of digs and went up to the... They'd made some huts for the battalion, and we went up there from the digs, or lodgings, and they used to be in our YMCA, and that we it wasn't bad at all down there. And after time we moved, and moved up to Gillingham.
Gillingham?
Gillingham, that's against Chatham. And we was at Upper Twiddle Camp.
What camp was that?
That's a pun.
What was the name of the camp?
Upper Twiddle Camp. That's what they called it. That was in Gillingham. And you had to go, you know, about a mile up there, and we was there. And they put you through training again, you see. You say, we want at Weymouth only for... say 3 months, and then we moved up to Gillingham, and there we had strict training there, and of course I had a band there, and we used to give the church parades and all that, and if they're not, it was a good camp. And they used to send a draft out about every 5 or perhaps 6 weeks. Men were trained, ready to go, you see. They called them the 3rd Battalion of the Hamptonshire Regiment. They reinforced the 1st and 2nd and 5th and any battalion out there that wanted to... You see?
Yes, would this be infantry? You were infantry?
Oh, infantry, yes, definitely. And then...
what sort when, of...
Every time there was a draft going out, I used to have a concert on the Friday night, you know. And I used to get a big... marquee full of troops, and I used to have these artists who used to volunteer to come and sing. And I always remember a girl, she'd be about 14 perhaps, she used to sing, and I used to call her Little Miss Sunshine. And she used to sing God Bless Our Glorious Navy, and all them sort of songs, you see, used to make. And I've often wondered if she was still alive. Little Miss Sunshine. And then, you see, the next morning at the draft, the band used to take you down to the station and play the station one far, and they used to play Auld Lang Syne on the station, and off they used to go. And I used to go to, of course, I went with them then because I hadn't done my training, you see. And another thing, I wasn't old enough. You see, my mum stopped me from going. I should have gone when I was 17, but or 18, but she wrote to the colonel and sergeant major come to me. He said, "You better stop here." He said, "You ain't 19, eh?" I said, "No." He said, "So I stayed with the North Ants, and then in the winter." We went down to Strood, the battalion. Well, there were several of us young ones, you know. Several of us young ones. And we used to have to do guards and all that because we were already trained, you see. trained and trained and trained.
What was your training? You know, did you have very good gunnery training, for instance, with rifles?
Oh, bless you, yes, yes, right. We had rifles, you see.
Yes. What type were you using then?
The Enfield, they were. And we had the Lewis gun, you see, that was the machine gun. That was a chief weapon at that time. A wicked gun that was. And used to go to a course. We used to go to a firing place where you fired at the targets, you see, with live bullets, of course. But when you used to be, you used to have a ring, you see, and I used to be, you used to have to explain the gun and unload it, and I used to tell you, your life depended on this. You've got to be quick and you've got to be always ready. And sometimes the Lewis gun used to get jammed, you know. And you used to have to be an expert at doing it quickly. Your life depended on it. I ran that into you all the time, and it was true. Because when you got to France and you got facing the Germans, you were against a brave and a formidable enemy. Make no mistake about that. Yeah, that is. You see, for years, the war was like that, wasn't it? You see, the Air Force, you say the Air Force, our Air Force was, we hadn't got the machines, we hadn't got the clever pilots that they'd got, because they'd been at it so long, you see, before we woke up, as you might as well say. And they was pretty accurate.
When you said the Lewis gun was a wicked gun, is that what you meant? Wicked in the way that it jammed and let you down? Or did you mean something else?
No, I meant it was a wicked gun to them who we fired at.
It was effective, in fact.
Oh, bless you, yes. It was the same as the Mills bomb. That was the wickedest bomb ever been. Did you know the Mills bomb? Well, the Mills. It's only you get it in your palm of your hand, you see. And you used to detonate them. And the detonators used to come up separate, you see. And they were very, very delicate. And if you'd make a slip, you know, it'd go off and kill you. It'd blow your fingers off, the detonator would. But you pushed it into the bomb, you see, screwed it up, and then you pushed a pin in the top of it, and it was as safe as air as is. But as soon as you pulled that pin out like that, it was still safe. But when you see, as soon as you let that bomb go, so many seconds, it was about 10 seconds, it would go off, you see. And that, what I say, it was a wicked bomb, because it used to be break in sections, you see, little bits, and blow your head off nearly. Now, am I doing right?
Yes, this is very interesting, Mr. Collins. We were talking about training, and, you know, you've gone on to explain the sort of effectiveness of the weapons. Were you trained at all in trench warfare? You know, were you trained to live in trenches, as you had to in France?
Oh, yes. Well, if you want to know, you see, as my journey across You like to know about that?
Yes. But I just wanted to finish your training. If there's anything more you could tell us about your training.
We used to train. And we used to go on guards, you see. And we used to go to Rochester Bridge. That's a great bridge there again, Chatham. And the aircraft works, what do they call it, seaplanes I used to make. We used to have to go and guard there. And we used to go and guard in the hospital at Fort Pitt. That was at Chatham. Chatham, Fort Pitt. Well, half of the hospital were full of Germans. And
what were they, prisoners?
They were badly wounded Germans. You see, they were men who were wounded and they couldn't get back, you see. And so I bought them and I give them the same treatment as they were our men. Now, that was an special case there. I used to be one sentry at each ward. And I went twice, I think. And there was a man there, a young German, lay there, I'd say about 30. And when they used to come and dress him, he used to scream. And there's more than I could stand here, you know, terrible. He used to scream. And I said to the nurse, whatever she... She said, do you know what he's got? He's got six wounds, as if he'd been bayoneted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
In his leg?
And she said he'd laid out in no man's land. And she said they're trying to save his leg. And you see, they couldn't numb the pain. Used to make me feel bad. Because I'd never seen anything like that before, you see, when I was that age. And they used to be other Germans, but they were badly wounded. They was all right. And that's funny. Now, I never did know whether he lost his leg or not, because I didn't go there anymore for guarding. And a fortnight after that, I don't know, I'm doing right, I fell for scarlet fever myself. I fell medley one morning. The corporal said to me, he said, you know, he said, you ought to go sick. He said, well, I said, I ain't bad enough at that. He said, well, he said, I was thirsty and couldn't eat anything, but very, very thirsty and hot. So he said, I should go if I was you. So I said, all right, and I went. And it was on a Saturday morning. Well, I generally used to go and leave on Saturday morning, you know, from Gillingham to different parts of these chaps I was soldiering with. And I didn't know it, but I stopped all the leave that day for that week at scarlet fever, you see. I went up to the medical officer and one of the orderlies come and the doctor said, take his temperature. And I put this here thermometer in my mouth and waited a minute till and he pulled it out and he, well, he said, this man's got temperature getting on 100. And doctor came over, he said, you've got a fever. He said, you either got scarlet fever or spotted fever. Well, I'd never heard of spotted fever. He said, be hopes it's not spotted fever. He said, because it's... Have you ever heard of scarlet fever? Oh, I hadn't. But anyway, they rushed me down to Fort Pitt. And of course, they wouldn't have me there because it's infectious, wasn't it? At that time, scarlet fever was serious, wasn't it? Before you was born, good many years. They used to have to disinfect the rooms out and all that when they had scarlet fever. I remember a girl over the road, she had it, and they isolated her for weeks. But anyway, they said you'll have to go up to a civilian hospital. And I went up to a hospital called St. William's Hospital. It was about 2 miles out of Chatham. And I went there, and it was a big hospital, but there were only a few in there. There were a lot of children, and people who had got scarlet fever, you see, or had it. And about 3 more soldiers there, that's all. And when that old doctor come, big fat old doctor, he said, let's have a look at you. And I said, well, he said, you're red as a beetroot. And he, you know, said, red. Water, and then milk. Water or milk. That's all, no food. And that's all they did give me. And I was there 7 weeks. 7 weeks I was there. And
when did you actually go overseas? Can we get on to that part now, yes, do you think?
Yes. Well, I went overseas a week after I come out of hospital.
Did you?
Yes. Now, it was in the summertime.
What year would that have been?
I'll tell you the date I went to France. I went to France from Gillingham, that was the North Ants. I went to France, I believe it, the 16th of September. Well, it should be in that book.
1915, was that?
That was 1916.
Yes. Right.
Yes, 1916. I went to Etaps, that's France. I went down the Road of Remembrance. You heard of the Road of Remembrance? Well, I went down there several times. That's at Dover. Went down the Road of Remembrance. And it was only a lane then, about, you know, and but I always remember it because thousands and thousands of troops went down there, never came back, you see. You got on the boat, on the quay, you see. Went down this lane and got off the train and got on the boat. Went over to Etaps. That was a great camp, a great distribution camp where the troops went and you was posted to different battalions, you see. All depends. But there were several battalions in Northamptons, you know. I mean, the first and second, you see, when I was in the third, but I went, and when I got there, they said, 1st Battalion, I didn't ask to go to the 1st Battalion. I just detailed us about, well, I think about a dozen of us. And we went, and this was, I think it was the 16th of September, was when, I'll get it right though, it's in them books, must be. And landed at Etaps, up there along the main camps. And this was on the Saturday. And I was going up on the Monday. I was going up to the 1st Battalion.
When Were you pleased to be in France? Were you anxious to go to France?
No.
Why was that?
Because I was going to do my duty, but I wanted I wasn't altogether keen then.
But had you heard stories?
Pardon?
Had you heard stories about the battle?
Yes, yes, of course I had, yes. But anyway, I was a fit man and ready. And on the Sunday evening, I was on my own because my other pals had gone out to sea, and while I was in the hospital and all that, and they was older than what I was. So I was alone, and I, on the Sunday evening, I just walked along and looked out at the great camp, and in the distance I could see the YMCA and the Salvation Army and the Church Army. And so, it was about the time for the service, so something seemed to attract me and prompt me to go, and I went. We had a very nice service, and nice, few of these nice hymns, you know. And afterwards, the old padre, he said, is there any young man, he said, I'd like to come and pray for forgiveness for his sins?